Hello and welcome to Joshua Space, a podcast where we talk about books and pop culture and everything in between. On today's episode, I have the wonderful privilege of speaking with one of my amazing friends, Alexa, who has been a bookseller for 16 years. So welcome, Alexa. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for asking me. I feel such a privilege from meeting you in a line at Book Expo in like 2018 to like, you know, you writing your entire information on the back of a Starbucks receipt to now. Watching you is incredible.
I basically gave you everything except my social.
Listen, I had your social security number also, I feel like, by the time I left Book Expo.
You're not wrong. I was amazed that you had access to ARCs. I did not know what advanced reader copies were until that Book Expo. I had no idea.
I brought you to the dark side because I remember going home and thinking, this guy needs to be in the book world and I am going to figure out how can he get into this. And I remember going home and filling a huge box to ship to you. And I remember the peer, it was like before social media was even like, it was a thing, I get it. But like, that was the best. Watching you just have a meltdown is my favorite thing of sending you anything. But I remember that first box was just like, you melted.
I had literally no words. It was just like, it was such a big box too. It wasn't like, here's a book or two. It was like this ginormous box full of books.
So, and that's how this began.
Pretty much. And it hasn't stopped. I mean, you literally just sent me Stars and Smoke by Marie Lu, who is one of my favorite authors of all time. And
I was waiting. I knew that this was going to like brighten your day when you opened it. And so you saw I wrote on like the outside of the package. I was like, prepare yourself. And it wrote it on the package of the book that I wrapped it in. And I'm like, get yourself ready. Because I knew like an unbound manuscript, you were just going to like lose it.
Oh, yeah. I had no words when I opened it. So that's why the video, there's no words in that video. It's just me going, shaking the book.
It was supposed to go in the box that I had sent you prior to that. And it was in my room for safekeeping. And I was like, nobody is going to get this unless it's Joshua.
That's awesome. So you work in Seaside, Oregon at Beach Books. And have you worked there since you started? Like when you first started as a bookseller, is that your first
intro? Yes, I started. That was my second job I had ever had in my entire life. And I've kept it. So I walked in as a 15-year-old. And my day started with Karen, the owner of the store, that she, this will be our 18th year in business. So I've been with her almost since the very beginning of the store opening. I walked in, she left me on the very first day and I was like, what do we do? She could just sell books. And I was like, okay. And I've worked every single Friday and Sunday for the whole 16 years. So
that's amazing. Yeah.
I'm still amazed. Like, you want to pay me to tell people about books. You want to give me free books. You want to give me a discount on books. Plus, you want to pay me to go to travel to conferences and meet these authors? Like, I have won. I have won the lot. It's not lucrative, but I've won the lottery.
Exactly. I think that is probably the best job you could ever get. Before you started working there, were you an avid reader?
So when I was growing up, my mom, she has always like instilled reading, and I can pick out specific books that she read to me. And my mom always ad libs when she reads these books. So like, I don't want to read them years later and be like, well, this didn't happen when you read it. But we would always go to the library when I was little. We didn't have a whole bunch of money to have books and stuff. So the library trips were the best. And getting Boxcar Children on cassette, that was like, that's we've awesome. Done it.
Back when cassettes were readily available.
If you look hard enough.
This is true. So when you first started, like back then, has your taste in books changed from then until now?
I'm still like diehard fantasy, like forever fantasy. But I've noticed recently I've been more into like, I can't get enough cozy mysteries. And like, it's bad. I was trying to read I read the Davenports, the new young adult debut that came out like 2 months ago. And I was like, okay, when's the murder going to happen? Is there murder? There has to be murder in this. And when I finished it, I was like, Anne, my coworker, no murder took place in this? She goes, I think you should lay off the mysteries for a minute.
You're like, it is not a good book unless someone is killing someone else.
Yes, and unless there's food puns, leave me out of it right now.
That's awesome. So what's your favorite mystery or cozy mystery?
I'm obsessed. obsessed with this new one that's going to come out in like 2 weeks, and it is called Vera Wang's Unsolicited Advice for Murderers. It is so good. The audiobook from Libro FM is also amazing because of the whole cast, but you want it, I want it, you will want it to become a series because you fall in love with the characters, you know, and it's this older woman who owns a tea shop, and she calls it Vera Wang's tea shop because she hopes people are going to be like, oh, the dress designer has a tea shop, right? People don't think that. And she comes downstairs in the morning and she finds a dead body, and it just goes from there to where she helps the police do a chalk outline with a Sharpie, and she only touches the body, you know, a few times on a whoopsie, and she tries to make him tea. And she then decides she's going to start like interviewing these suspects, and she brings them into the tea shop and she makes them all meet at once, and like they just become such a cute little family, and I just love that book.
That it reminds me a lot of the Thursday Murder Club.
Exactly why I love it.
That is, it is, oh, the Thursday Murder Club, because I don't read a ton of mystery, but the Thursday Murder Club is just chef's kiss.
Okay, that's what kicked me off into this obsession last probably like October, November. And I feel like the Thursday Murder Club series gets even better. Like book two and three are even better than the first somehow.
I still have not read the second or third. I know, I know.
Who are you? You're not busy. You don't have books. You should have time, Joshua.
I should. I don't know how my like 5 million book TBR is not finished yet. It's a tragedy at this point.
Maybe I should quit sending you books.
So, I mean, it just adds to the TBR.
No sense in putting yourself on a book ban. That is, you know what, that's sucking serotonin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My therapist was like, you need to stop buying books. And I was like, huh, no. And then, you know what, he had the audacity to tell me that not only do I need to stop buying books and cancel every subscription that I have, He also wants me to delete my account on the websites I purchase book from and delete all of my payment methods from my phone. Listen, I know I have an addiction. I've accepted that I have an addiction. We can downsize this addiction. We don't need to get rid of it altogether. This is my life.
I know. Listen, I have the answer here. Take your credit card payment off of his account of paying him. Because he's taking your money too. So listen, we're going to find a new therapist because this one is not for us. He is too drastic and radical for us.
Honestly, I was like, tell me you're not a reader without telling me you're not a reader.
Oh, you know what? He's probably an no. Nope. Mm-mm. Oh.
My jaw just dropped. The more he went on, I was like, no. I'm like, listen. I get it. I will downsize. I will cancel half of. So I'm at the point right now where I have 4 subscriptions. I have the.
That's really good.
Right? That's what I'm saying. It was like 11.
Know you. Pandemic. He doesn't know you. This is honestly.
Like, listen, I'm doing really good right now. You should have seen me a year and a half ago.
I'm in a really good place. I don't even need your services anymore, sir. I'm going to use that money to do another box.
Exactly. But yeah, so I am going to try and cancel 2 of them and bring it down to 2. I know. But it's also, I've realized, so I have 4 right now. I have the Fairy Loot Adult subscription box, the Broken Binding subscription, which they do trilogies. And so they do 3 months at a time. You're basically locking yourself into 3 months and it's a complete trilogy. And they're a full set and they're stunning. The stenciled edges all designed like together. Like,
them.
You haven't heard of them?
No.
They're amazing. Amazing.
I need to write this down somewhere.
Yes, it is. So you know how you heard of Goldsboro, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so think of Goldsboro on a different level.
Steroids?
Like just the because it's more stenciled edging and not as much sprayed. And so I think the biggest difference though is Goldsboro is focused on first printings, first editions, signed, numbered, yada, yada, yada. Whereas Broken Binding is more focused on special editions, limited signed. And so they're doing reprints. It's not a first edition, first printing.
Okay. That makes more sense.
They're bringing you like a trilogy at the end of its course. This trilogy is already finished. So we're going to give you all 3 books in the next 3 months. They do also do new releases as well. They're starting to do more of that. But it is seriously, it's their editions are gorgeous. So I'm not canceling them. I cannot cancel them.
No. Okay, what are the other two? Goldsboro?
Goldsboro and Goldsboro.
Great. I don't think there's any wiggle room here. So four it is.
Okay, but here's the problem. And I'm realizing this right now because I am doing a massive unhaul. Because just, I'm one of my bookcases broke at the beginning of this year. It was a travesty. Travesty, tragedy. I don't know.
Both.
And it collapsed. So I had to take all the books out. I have boxes. And it kind of made me realize I need to downsize a little bit. So I'm working on downsizing. And then I'm going to do floating bookshelves on my entire other wall. So that'll give me even more room. So once I sell a bunch and I create these bookcases, I'll have more room for new books. Solid logic.
Listen, I think it really didn't tell you you needed to downsize. I think it told you you need to get a better quality bookshelf is what it really meant.
You're not wrong. While I'm going through the books to get rid of, though, I realized a lot of Goldsboro, and not just Goldsboro, but I read mostly science fiction and I dabble in everything else. A lot of Goldsboro, because I subscribe to the Goldsboro Science Fiction Fantasy Fellowship, which is sci-fi fantasy, and the Goldsboro Premier Membership, which is everything. And I also buy a lot from them and just and other places in general. And a lot of those books are not sci-fi. And so I have a million of them and have not read any of them. And I was going through and I'm like, do I really have an interest in reading this? Yeah. Not really. So it's...
Is the resale market really out there, though? I know that they're like a UK-based, but they're also easily obtainable, I should say, I think for the most part. But is there a market for resale for all of these unhauled books? Or is it very like niche unhaul? Because I notice, I always love watching your growth on TikTok, and I'm so proud of you for getting almost 35,000 followers. Like, this makes my heart so happy because it couldn't happen to a better person. But sidetracked. Where was I going? Oh no. Oh, okay. Okay. The Pierce Brown. I noticed on your unhaul video.
Yeah.
Everybody is like, oh, tell me about those Pierce Brown, Pierce Brown, Pierce Brown. And I was like, Joshua's going to have a bidding war. I want to watch this. I want to watch his reaction as it's like up, up, up in price. And I like, is it all like that or is it very niche?
It's both. So there, it really depends on the series. In general, here's like a great example. The Other Side of Night by Adam Hamdi. So gorgeous edition. I mean, these stenciled edges are amazing. I love them to death. It is signed. Yeah. It's numbered. This is number 58 of 500 copies, which is awesome. This book probably cost me close to $40. I think it's like $35-ish.
Including shipping?
Including shipping. And that's okay. The main reason is because the book itself, I think it's like 25 pounds and then another 8 pounds to ship it. So it's like 34 pounds total. And then after you do the, you know, pounds to US dollars, it ends up being like $37. So it's almost $40. And so this book, I could maybe get $40 or a little under, unless this wins a ton of awards and it becomes very popular. And that's kind of what happens with like the Red Rising books. Stephanie Garber's
They Know More.
Yeah. So there's a Goldsboro edition of those. Jay Chris.
I saw all eight of your copies. Yeah, I saw them. I saw eight of them. Yeah, I saw those.
But that's what
Would you like me to task? Would you like me to put an arc in that also?
Wait, do you have an arc of that book?
Who am I? How dare you? We met Stephanie Garber's line.
I know. That is the line that we met it and we were on her Instagram.
Simpler time.
I can't. That was like what, 2017?
2018, 2017. It was
that was a good time. 5-6 years ago. That's crazy.
I remember when we would stand in line with 20,000, if not 100,000 people, just like so close for hours on concrete.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
What a time. What a time to be alive.
Honestly. And it's funny because it's changed because I've gone to conventions recently and it's different. The lines aren't as severe. So I will say also, I had never been to San Diego Comic-Con prior to the pandemic. So I don't really have that base of the chaos. You can't walk. There's like so many people you're touching on all four sides and all of these horror stories. I went to the special Comic-Con in 2021. And I mean, it was very, very small scale. There was not a lot of people. I could put my arms out and walk around. It was no big deal. Like it was like, so to me, it was like, well, this is very underwhelming. And I get it was a special edition. So it was very small. It also was on Black Friday weekend, which was really stupid.
I think that was a win. Still, I would have taken that over all those dang people to wait in line.
Yes, but the problem is a lot of the vendors were having Black Friday weekend sales, Cyber Monday sales that were cheaper than the convention. So I could have gone on my phone and bought exactly what I'm looking at for 20% less. And that kind of negated the effects of being at the convention a little bit. Then I went last year, and last year was more of a normal. I could still kind of put my elbows out, though, to be honest. Like, it wasn't that insane. And the lines were like not terrible. And so I was like, if this is how it is, this is a piece of cake. And I have a friend that's been every year, and he always tells me how insane it is, and like WonderCon, how it's very busy. And I'm like, bro, you don't understand BookCon. BookCon was a whole different level. And he did not believe, he was like, whatever. And I went to WonderCon for the first time and was like, this is extremely underwhelming. Like, it's an amazing convention, don't get me wrong, but compared to BookCon was so much more chaotic. And he was like, what? And I'm like, yeah, this is a piece of cake. This is easy. And I was like, I had my computer with me. I had like 10 spreadsheets. I had a folder full of things and schedules and where I needed to be and what I needed to bring and what I needed to do and who I needed. Like, it was a whole thing. So it definitely prepared me for future conventions. I will say that.
The differences of like what a conference is for somebody who doesn't like when I go to a conference, I'm going for a completely different reason compared to why you're going to a conference. So I'm going to like talk to these publishers and connect with these authors and the publishers to make sure that they remember not only me, but my store. And so it's different. And when I went to Book Expo for the first time, I was so like overwhelmed on what's even going on and what's the protocol and what do you mean I need to get a ticket to stand in this line to meet the author and like what do you mean you're selling books? Because like every conference I always go to, you just get in a line to talk to the author and you get their book that they signed for you or whatever you want. And I was like shot down for on one of the first days because all I wanted to do was meet B.E. Schwab because she is one of my favorite authors of all time. And I was just like, oh, I get to meet her. And then I got to the booth. They're like, do you have a ticket? And I'm like, oh, a ticket for what? And they're like, to get in line. And I was like, what are you on? No, I will stand in this line and I will meet her. And they were like, no, that's not how this works here. But to make you feel better, the next day I got like hand brought to the front of the line to meet Victoria. It was the most crazy thing that I was going to cry because she knew where my store was located. And like, she's been to my town, which if anybody doesn't know, like I live on the Oregon coast in Seaside, which is a very small coastal community that nobody heard
beautiful.
Of. Depending when you come, just kidding. No. So that made my whole, like Victoria Schwab knows me.
That's amazing.
And that was where we got to meet Tomi Adeyemi for the first time. I met Tomi months prior in Memphis, and it was a long time before Children of Blood and Bone was even going to come out, and it was my current obsession that I made everybody at the store that worked there read it. And I was like, I don't care if you don't like this genre, you must read this. And I remember meeting Tomi and I was like, I have an obsession with you and your book. And like, she was in such disbelief. I'm like, you love my book? And I was like, you don't even know the amount of arcs that are up here and like signed finished copies of like I am in your boat of obsessions with that one. And so to watch that and watch how big she's become is so cool.
It's awesome. I think it's wild to when you're like, you see them before.
Yep.
Like you meet them before the book is even out, before it's gotten to where it's at now. I mean, it has a movie deal. It's, I think, pre-production at this point, but I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
We both have Tomi stories because Tomi recognizes and knows the both of us for different reasons. And it's just it's the coolest feeling to have the, it's like an appreciation of you appreciate their baby in a way.
Yeah, she is the sweetest human. Like she is so incredibly kind. Also, I'm hoping she'll be at San Diego Comic-Con again this year. And I am determined because last year at San Diego Comic-Con, she was like, have you been writing? And I was like, not really. So I am determined to at least write something so I can answer, yes, I have. I have been writing, Tomi. Thank you for asking.
She, I haven't seen her for so long because then she's kind of like gone into hiding, I think, as she's working on this third book, which
Yeah.
I'm so thankful she's taking her time with this third one to like really round it out. Because the second one kind of like, I have been describing it as like a marathon read, and by the end of it, you are exhausted and she's essentially killing you. But, like,
And then it's over. And then you don't know what's
I
going to happen.
know.
And you're just like,
And I,
excuse me.
and I just am like, can you please round this out and not do like a Saba type of thing where you're gonna like rip out all of our feelings, but like just like a little bit of our feelings, just to curb stomp them a tiny bit?
Exactly. So, Tomie Adeyemi, what is one of your other current or like all-time favorite books?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. So, as you know, one of my obsessions is Alex Harrow's 10,000 Doors of January. I know, it's earth-shattering. This is hot news. It's a hot take. I don't know if you pay attention to the top 10 Beach Books bestsellers every month, but almost a guarantee my Alex will be there.
Yep.
And she has to sit very strategically on a very certain table, and she sells every single day. Anyways, that is my book. I am obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with her. She never has toured when her book had come out in the before times. And because she had little kids. And so I have hand sold her book. My little recommendation blurb was chosen for the Indie Next pick. And so it got shipped out to all the independent bookstores across the country with the little, you know, what I write your
Yeah.
what I wrap your books in. Mine was chosen, and I was like, oh. So it's been an ongoing joke for years. The day I get to meet Alex Harrow is the day she's like, oh, it's that damn Beach Books girl. Like, hit the panic button. She's finally found me, right? Like, because it's like I am constantly like this on the bookstore's Instagram every month when it makes the top 10, which is saying something because it's top 10 almost year round in our busy season. That's saying something.
Yeah.
Last month or the month before, she reached out to me and she was like, on the bookstore. And she's like, about thank you for so much. Thank you for what you do and how appreciative it is. And she really wants to send me something special. And I was like, oh, what? What does this mean? Because her book never reached like the indie bestsellers or the New York Times. And I
Which
just thought
I'm
it
sorry,
deserved.
but it needed to. That
Oh,
book
it was so
was so
perfect.
beautiful, especially like getting to the
Listen.
end and then just reading the first page again, and it was like,
Yes.
oh my God.
And she blows your mind after. And that's what I tell every single person. Like when they buy this, I'm like, we're best friends. This is my obsession. Please reread the first chapter as soon as you're done. And so, like, and I'm like, I'm not giving away anything, you know. And
Yeah.
so she asked me, she's like, you know, I should probably ask you, like, what's your name after all these years? And I was like, it is me. My time has come. I
It
am
is
the
I,
sucker.
Alexa, from Beach Books.
So I didn't think anything of it because, you know, people are always like, oh, I'll send you something. And then,
Yeah.
like, you know, squirrel brains take over and
Oh, yeah.
oopsie
I am notorious for
whoopsie.
doing that, so I know.
I got a text and it was on my day off and they're like, hey, you have a package from Alex Harrow. And I was like, cool, I'll get it tomorrow, thinking because she was going to send signed book plates. And I thought she was just going to write like a thank you note, right? Which I would have, I like lose my mind. But I was like, wait, a package? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, be right there. I go careening into the bookstore and I'm just like, don't look at me. I am a troll right now, but I am here for my Alex Harrow package. And I open it and I had goosebumps and I started crying because she sent me a special edition that I had never seen before.
That's a Subterranean Press edition.
I
When I tell you, I tried so hard to get that book.
I've never seen this before. This is a $175 copy. And then I was just like, oh my God, I've really reached it. And then I opened it. And she not only gave me her personal copy of this edition, she signed it to me with endless gratitude, Alex Harrow. And like, when I tell you, I lost my mind because this book means so much to me, of just like, I this isn't my book, but I feel like every single time I put it in the hands of somebody, I'm like, I'm giving you a piece of me because this means so much to me. And it doesn't matter how many times I read it, I love it every time. And like to be acknowledged and to like get this, I was just like, oh, I can't wait till the day I look you dead in the eyes, Alex.
That's amazing. Amazing. So how many times have you reread it?
Well, maybe like three or so, because
That's
I don't want it to like listen, my
You don't want
pea
it to
brain
lose its
forgets
magic.
plots. Yes. And
Yeah.
like I forget certain things, and so I kind of like wait at least 9 months to a year before I reread it,
Yeah.
if that, because I want to be like enamored with it like I was the first time in a way.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it hasn't been out for that long. It came out right before pandemic, didn't it? Like 2019 or 2020.
No, it actually came out and I read it before I went to my first book expo, which was like 2017, 2018, and
Did it come
I
out
got
that
it
long
before that.
ago?
I read my first copy, yes. And so because I the our amazing rep at Hachette knew this was like my book, and so he sent it to me and he's just like watched it spiral for me for years, and he always sees like all of our posts about it and he just laughs.
Well, I will say I read that book solely because of you.
Because every person that I met, I was like, listen, hey, like, I'm like a weirdo, like showing my trench coat of like, hey, do you want to buy these? But I'm like, listen, you've got to read this book. I told it to everybody that whole weekend. And that was when we met at Book Expo, BookCon. So yeah, I wouldn't stop talking about that to anybody that had a pulse.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Even if you weren't a reader, I was like, listen, I've got a book for you.
On hey, non-readers are only non-readers because they have not found the right book for them.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Alexa, for joining and chatting about books and just everything and being a bookseller and your journey into it. It's been amazing.
Thank you. Is this how it ends?
Huh? I do have one more question for you, before
Okay, great.
we what first of all, what are your top three favorite genres?
I'm trying not to cuss right now at you.
This is part one of the question, by the way.
Fantasy.
Okay.
I mean, that is also like adult fantasy and
Yeah.
YA fantasy, and of course, middle grade fantasy. Like, oh no, oh. Like fantasy, mystery, like adventure. I don't know.
Okay, so fantasy, mystery, and kind of like a general fiction.
Yeah, but lean more on like rom-com, romance, like,
Okay.
I mean, if you like this kind of romance sometimes too, like Guild, but we hide behind that.
Okay. So, what is your favorite fantasy novel? What is your favorite mystery novel? And what is your favorite What? And your favorite rom-com?
Shall I cuss you out now or after you hit stop recording? Because I have a list of very colorful words that I would love to use.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Oh, Joshua. When anybody asks me my favorite books, I'm always like, I hate reading. Quit asking me questions because I don't want to ask. I don't want to answer it. My favorite books are like 10,000 Doors of January, Darker Shades of Magic series, and one.
Those are both fantasy, but we'll go for it.
One's an adventure. One's there's a bit of a mystery. Listen, there's a mystery in 10,000 Doors of January, so don't try me, Joshua. I will give you Darker Shades of Magic is a fantasy. 10,000 Doors of January is an adventure mystery.
With light fantasy elements sprinkled in.
Tracy Chee's Reader Trilogy is one of my absolute favorite trilogies of my entire life, hands down, and it doesn't get the love it deserves. And I am so upset by it because it is one of the most perfectly written book where you take notes, but you're not angry you're taking notes. And like, I mean, that first book took her like 10 plus years to write, and when you read it, you understand why, because she has so many little tidbits in there and so many riddles. And I just love it. To think of a book of a world where nobody knows what books are, words are nothing, but she wants each of the characters to be able to like fluidly read the situation to where, you know, one can very vividly read track and track somebody. One never loses a fight and can read a fight before it happens. And a pirate who can read the sea who never gets lost. And so you are a reader, but you're not reading words. And I love that each book she takes it out to a different level of the reader to then the speaker to then the storyteller is telling the story of the whole thing. And it just like, it doesn't fit. So if you want to go general fiction, rom-com, anything, Emily Henry.
Okay. Another one that I have read specifically because you forced me it into my hands is The Reader series by Tracy Chi.
And you made my whole life because you found me an arc of one of them. And I was just like, Joshua is my savior. I feel like I should grab them instead of looking at like a weirdo up into the heavens. Okay, I get them. And now the only thing that I'm missing is an arc of the storyteller, because I have them all, because you found me an arc of the speaker, and that was my like
were there arcs of the storyteller?
I don't know, and I've never seen it, and I am like, I'm not connected like you are on these situations. I just find that new stuff for you. Okay, but this, if nobody has read this, like, this is one of my favorites. I just think it's so underrated and it deserves so much more.
It is such a good book. And she is such an incredible person and author in general, to where The Reader series is hands down amazing, but her novel, We Are Not Free.
Yes.
That book.
Yes.
Incredible. Incredible.
I fully agree, and I knew she was going to be one of my obsessions the day I laid eyes on her, and she had sequined shoes, and I was like, yes, let's be friends.
That's awesome.
So that's mine. Yeah, I think those are my only obsessions. Not only, but...
There's a few.
I just wanted to say again, thank you so much to Alexa for joining and talking about books and being a bookseller. And I, of course, wanted to thank all of you who are currently listening or watching this episode. If you want to support this podcast in any way, make sure to subscribe. Also, if you feel so inclined, you can purchase books through my bookshop.org affiliate link or support Alexa for purchasing books from Beach Books in Seaside, Oregon. I hope you have a wonderful day and happy reading.